just take a quick peek at that. Beth, go back one more just real quickly. But notice the cross, and you can see the Mount Suribachi in the background. So just remember that picture. There's a theme there. But on February 19th, 1945, the U.S. Marines made an amphibious landing on Iwo Jima and were met with some unforeseen challenges. First and foremost, the beaches on the island were very steep, and they had dunes of soft, gray, volcanic ash, which made getting footing and getting equipment up very difficult. And as the Marines struggled forward, the Japanese just lay in wait. They were landed basically unopposed, and there was a pause. And the Americans assumed that the pre-attack bombardment that had gone on for 3 days had been effective and had crippled the enemy's defenses on the island. However, that was part of the plan of the Japanese general, Kiribayashi. And so while the Americans were struggling to get a foothold on the beaches of Iwo Jima, literally and figuratively, the Japanese general's artillery positions in the mountains that looked down on the beaches in a crossfire opened fire, stalling the Marines and inflicting significant casualties. And the Marines kept coming, and within days, almost 70,000 Marines had landed on Iwo Jima. Well, just 4 days into the fighting, U.S. Marines captured Mount Suribachi, the one lone, about 500-foot, 450-foot hill at the south end of the island, famously raising an American flag there. And the image of the second flag, they actually restaged it, was captured by the Associated Press photographer Joe Rosenthal, and won a Pulitzer Prize for the iconic photograph. In fact, I just watched last night Clint Eastwood's movie, Flags of Our Fathers, that talked about the guys that were on the bond tour trying to raise money. But that the Marine Corps Memorial at Arlington Cemetery, very familiar, iconic photo of the Marines on Iwo Jima. And so that was 4 days in, but the fighting was far from over. For another month, till the end of March, there were about 1,000 U.S. casualties every day. And so the Japanese combat deaths numbered three times that of the American, but this was unique among all the battles in the Pacific. The American total casualties, dead and wounded, actually exceeded those of the Japanese. Of the 21,000 Japanese soldiers on Iwo Jima at the beginning of the battle, only 216 were taken prisoner, some of whom were captured only because they'd been knocked unconscious or otherwise disabled. They didn't give up. They all died, 216. As the 3rd Marine Division General Graves Erskine said, victory was never in doubt, but its cost was. What was in doubt in all our minds was whether there would be any of us left to dedicate our cemetery at the end, or whether the last Marine would die knocking out the last Japanese gun and gunner. Operation Detachment, as it was called, a major amphibious, cost the U.S. forces 6,871 killed and 19,217 wounded. Medals of Honor were awarded to 22 Marines and 5 sailors, 14 of them posthumously, 13 Marines and 1 sailor. And as Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz, commander of the Pacific Fleet and Pacific Ocean areas, noted after the battle, familiar phrase, uncommon valor was a common virtue. This is the sacrifice required to overcome evil, the evil of the Japanese Empire in this case specifically. That's what we remember as a nation. Biblically, the passage I read in Isaiah 43, Isaiah talks about this. In fact, the entire book of Isaiah, the first 35 chapters, deal with condemnation on the wayward people of God, Israel, and specifically Judah. And then there's a brief historical section when Assyria is not going to take you into captivity like we studied in Hosea, but the Babylonian captivity is coming. But then starting in chapter 40 through the end of the book, chapter 66, comfort is the theme. In fact, chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so what we read there, that passage, so what? Well, the way it's structured, but God talks about the name that I have given you and my name, the power of God's name. And because of that, redemption, very important for the Israelites and for us as Christians, being redeemed from something great, an iniquity, a trial. And then God promises to be with his people, presence in the trial, in verse 2. And presence then restoring, bringing back, of course, Israel back from the Babylonian captivity. But the presence in the restoration. But in the midst of the trial, John this morning talking about the life of David in 2 Samuel 5:24, where David asked to go, Lord, do I go out against the Philistines? And God says yes and gives him a plan. And I like the little brief section that the where God says, listen for the sound of the mulberry trees, the marching, if you will, of the armies of God, signifying God's power and his presence with his people. For us, we can experience that. And throughout history, our warriors and just God's being with his people is something that is very precious. But then at the end, that word Savior, in fact, Isaiah, Yahweh is salvation, is what Isaiah means, because only a Savior can ransom his people, once again, buy them out of bondage. And as Isaiah says in verses 3 and 4, I will give men, I will give people for your life. There will be a sacrifice needed to be made, but also the promise, because the sacrificer ultimately is our lovingly, eternal Heavenly Father. And like we read in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is our refuge, our stronghold, our fortress is that God, that Savior. This is the sacrifice, even greater than military sacrifice, Iwo Jima, the sacrifice even greater required to overcome the ultimate evil in our world. The biblical remembrance. What about our remembrance? Once again, I love you folks, and I appreciate that we do this together because I think it's important. And I've shared that sometimes I'll talk to pastor friends that, did you even mention Veterans Day or Memorial Day? Huh? And that can get me in a very judgmental attitude, and that's not good. But as Winston Churchill said, you know I like to quote him, those who seek to plan the future should not forget the inheritance they have received from the past. For it is only by studying the past as well as drawing for the future that the story of man's struggle can be understood. So think that struggle, that trial, temporal, earthly, military, of course, is what he's talking about. But we know that eternal struggle. And so Iwo Jima means Sulfur Island, volcanic island, sulfur, you know, think of judgment, biblical sulfur, and the sacrifice in lives required to overcome evil, giving men, giving lives, what it cost America to bring about the freedom and the deliverance of the world in World War II. And throughout American history, the wars that have been fought, the sacrifices that have made, you know, America, and I know we're greatly appreciated for this, bailing Europe out of their own problems, but also the U.S. wars of independence and things like that, fighting for freedom and deliverance for Americans and those around the globe. I'm proud to be an American, and that's a picture of what it costs to do this. And so the cemetery, then there are pictures, and that that cross I asked you to look at, you could see Mount Suribachi, which was where the flag was planted. The cemetery are there on Iwo Jima as a graphic reminder of what it cost. Think of stones of remembrance. And every Memorial Day, I'll use this verse in Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the middle of the Jordan as God was bringing them into the promised land, they took stones out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal, just on the west side of Jordan in Israel. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. 12 stones of remembrance. And the teachable moment that I fear too we are losing in our country, but teaching children of God's deliverance and faithfulness, and the stones of the cemeteries of those who have given their lives, if our kids don't recognize that. Do you remember the stones? The lyrics of Eternal Father that we sang, just appropriate, Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave. You know, think Navy, Marines, which are Department of the Navy. Right, Harrelson? I like reminding our Marine out there. But the restless wave, God's providence over the oceans, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield us in danger's hour. From rock and tempest, fire, think Iwo Jima, Suribachi, and foe, protect them wheresoever they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea. Do you remember the stones? And so I've asked Scott is going to come play taps for us because we remember and memorialize what it cost for our freedom. So please stand and render a salute. And Scott is going to play taps.